All right, parents, it's back to school time, and I've got a secret for you. There's a drama-free way to make vitamins part of your kids' morning routine. Little Critters Gummy Vitamins. You see, my kids think they're just eating fun, delicious gummy bears, but little do they know, they're getting essential nutrients for their health and development.
Mom, we know they're vitamins.
As I was saying, kids absolutely love, and apparently know, these are vitamins. Little Critters is the pediatrician-recommended kids' multivitamin gummy brand, and the yummy way to start the school year.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Is a special KMOX sports presentation.
Welcome to the Strike Zone on KMOX, presented by Graybar. Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
Welcome back in. It is a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly. Not only is it a Graybar Sports Open Line, it is also a Strike Zone Hour, which is also brought to you by Graybar, who we certainly appreciate in a very, very big way. What's on Deck is sponsored by Chesterfield Fence and Deck, the sign you have the very best. Cardinals are going into their final week of the season. They're going to play three in Denver against the Rockies, and then they'll wrap up the season by playing the Giants in San Francisco for a weekend series that begins on Friday. As far as the Rockies series goes, we'll have night games tomorrow and on Wednesday, and then an afternoon game coming up on Thursday. So we'll do a little bit of Sports Open Line. We'll do like 45 minutes of Sports Open Line the next two nights before we get into Cardinals coverage. Three things I want to do here this hour. Want to go through some things that John Mozeliak said to Tom Ackerman yesterday during Sports on a Sunday Morning. Want to talk with Brian Kennedy from Channel 4. He's going to join us in about 10 minutes. And also want to play for you some of what was said inside the Cardinals clubhouse yesterday from Nolan Arenado and Wilson Contreras. So we're going to start with that as we'll play back some of what was said. What really got the headlines was what Nolan Arenado or what Wilson Contreras said. So we'll get to that in a second. Let's start with Nolan Arenado. And he essentially said that he feels like the team absolutely does need some help going into next season.
I mean, listen, Art, we're going to probably need some help. I mean, it's just the numbers are saying it. And I know, like I said, I keep pointing back to myself and got to play better. And I think I could help this team more. But our ballpark, you don't necessarily get rewarded for hitting the ball good, and that's always tough. And when we have a young team like we do, it's not easy. So I think we're all open to a little help, that'd be great, So I don't know if that's going to happen, and if it doesn't, it is what it is. We just got to continue to find ways to get better, and I think we will.
I have no problem with what Nolan said right there. I feel like the first thing he said was look at himself, that he can do more, that he feels like he's got the opportunity to play better. And no matter what else happens as we continue, no matter how else we look back at this season, I think we will always look at it as a season where the Cardinals did not get the production that they expected to get from Nolan Arenado and Paul Goldschmidt. And in a year where offensively it just didn't happen for them, that they were the leading culprits for it. Now, that being said, Arenado didn't have a terrible season. He didn't drive the ball. He didn't hit for extra bases the way we're used to him doing. But his numbers weren't terrible. His actually hitting with runners in scoring position, he was among the best on the team. And I think it didn't always feel that way with him, but the numbers are what the numbers are. Paul Goldschmidt was okay, was pretty good, above average from July 1st on, but the numbers, they were so rough going into July 1st. Even with everything he did from July 1st on, he was never able to really bring the numbers up to where it was going to be a very, very respectable season for him. So there's reasons to be somewhat optimistic about Nolan Arenado moving forward. There's reasons to think that Paul Goldschmidt could have a bounce back if he ends up back with the Cardinals next year, which doesn't seem overly likely at this point, but also something that is not an impossibility. All right, let's get into what Wilson Contreras said, because this is what really caught people's attention. This audio is courtesy of STL Today and the Post-Dispatch. So a few things I want to play for you. First off, we'll start with Contreras talking about the team's offensive struggles.
We just never came out as an offense. I think everybody has their own plan, which is good. But we didn't execute at all. Like, if you look at our stats, there's going to be a lot of inconsistencies 1-9, and a big part of that. And we just need to be better for next year, control the track zone. Don't try to do too much in a big spot, and just try to make more contact than we did this year.
So I agree 100% with what Contreras said there, have no issues with it. Like, what he said there was kind of common sense. It was not a very good offensive season. 1-9, you just didn't get what you wanted. Maybe 2-9. I think they got a really good season out of Mason Wynn offensively. He was as consistent of a player as they had on the roster. You had moments from other guys. Like, Alec Burleson had a good, not great season. And then a lot of guys had average seasons or below average seasons. That's just the way it went. Offensively, they have to be better, and Contreras knows that, and everybody watches this team and covers this team knows that. So it was after that that things got a little bit more interesting. Contreras says that it absolutely has to be better, and the future needs to be better for this club.
But there's some areas that you need to be addressed to. I don't think the front office is going to, but like I said before, we didn't come as an offense at all during the whole year. There's a lot of holes throughout the lineup from 1-9. And the only thing that we can control is show up next year and keep working. But as an organization, I think the Cardinals are one of the biggest organizations in baseball. And if I was them, if I was the front office, I'd be hungry to own this division. But we haven't owned this division in the last 2 years.
If I was the front office, I would be eager to own this division, but you haven't done that in 2 years, essentially what Wilson Contreras said right there. And he talked about the struggles 1-9. And when he talked about the struggles 1-9, talking about offensively, that was fine. When as the conversation moved, in many ways, it felt like he was starting to more take issue with the way the roster was put together. So a byproduct of that was he's being critical of his teammates. He was being critical of the roster that was put together. Now, it's a whole lot easier to say that when he said it yesterday. He's not on the road with the team. He's not going to see this version of the team for a while. But I'm sure some people would listen to that, see that, and kind of shake their head, especially from a guy who, when he was on the field, he absolutely did contribute. His numbers were as good as anybody's numbers offensively, but he just couldn't stay on the field this year. He absolutely was injured, and I think some people took a double take that some of these things were being said. So he was asked specifically, if he was the one making the decisions, what areas of need would he address?
That's a good question for the front office to ask, to answer. I'm not going to answer that question, but I think if you look at the numbers as an offense, you'll see, you'll notice what's been missing. And but as a group, we need to make an adjustment for next year for sure.
So basically, he said right there, he's not going to answer the question, but all you got to do is go look at the numbers. And sure, I mean, you can very easily go look at the positions where you were not getting the offense that you were expecting to get this year. And first and third are two of those spots with Goldschmidt and Arenado, but right field is certainly that, because you didn't get what you expected from Jordan Walker. Second base is that. Not that second base is generally a big-time offensive position, but this team was counting on Nolan Gorman to be a 30 home run type guy, and he wasn't that. And he started on that pace from a home run standpoint, but still struck out a lot, didn't have a high average, and eventually the home runs kind of dissipated as well, and he had a tough finish to his season. So the bottom line for Contreras, it absolutely has to be better next season.
We cannot be okay with these results again. I know it might be better than last year, but if you look at the Cardinals as an organization, it's a huge organization for the MLB, so we should be hungry to be on top of this NL Central, and we haven't done that in the last 2 years.
Yeah, look, I don't have any issue with what he said right there either, where he says it has to be better. And yes, it was a little bit better this year compared to last year, but it's not where it needs to be. When he signed to become a member of the St. Louis Cardinals, he did not come to be on a team that doesn't get to the postseason, and now this is back-to-back seasons where he is not in the postseason. So, again, people took note of what he had to say. I think people took note because you generally don't hear those type of things from players. Contreras isn't exactly a guy who's going to hold his tongue. He's fiery. He's going to say what he's thinking. That can be a very good thing. In some ways, it can be a little bit uncomfortable when he is, in many ways, being critical of his teammates. But at the same time, we're right at the end of the season. And I do think the organization is well aware that they can't just run back this group again next season and expect a different set of results, for sure. All right, Brian Kinney is going to join us coming up in just a moment. He is from Channel 4. We'll get his take on those comments that were made and where the Cardinals do go from here. We might talk a little Mizzou football with him as well. Channel 4 has been a big part of Mizzou coverage this year with their pre- and post-coverage on their new channel. So Brian's going to join us in just a moment. It's a Strike Zone Hour, part of a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Strike Zone on KMOX. Presented by Graybar. Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
The Cardinals lead 2-1. Out hitting the Guardians 5-2. Here's Helsley with the 1-1 pitch. A swing and a high fly ball. Right center field. There's Ciani. He has it for a Redbird winner. And the Cardinals take 2 out of 3 from the Guardians. The Cardinals will set off the fireworks in downtown St. Louis to celebrate.
Setting off those fireworks for one final time here this season, they finish out the home portion of the schedule with a win against Cleveland yesterday, 2-1, taking 2 of 3 from a good Guardians team. Pretty solid final homestand for the team. They won 3 of 4 against the Pirates, and they take 2 of 3 from a good Cleveland team. It's a Graybar Sports Open Line here on KMOX. Very happy to welcome onto the program right now. You see him on Channel 4, First Alert for KMOV. He is Brian Kennedy. You follow him on Twitter at BKennedyTV. Brian, I always appreciate you spending some time with us today. How are you?
I'm doing great. Doing great. Thanks for having me on, per usual. I always like coming on with you guys.
Yeah, absolutely. So what did you make of the comments that were made by Wilson Contreras yesterday, where in many ways he was calling on the front office to make moves? If you really got into what he said, in some ways it felt like he was being critical of some of his teammates, not by name, but kind of by position. And it just it was a little bit of a different comment than we're used to hearing out of that clubhouse.
Yeah, I think he must have said that when I walked off, because I was in the clubhouse yesterday. I was like, man, when did he say that? I mean, it's also kind of true, right? I mean, the big question. I mean, when we came into the season, if you looked at the St. Louis Cardinals roster, you didn't say, oh, that's the NL, you know, Central leading team, right? You said that's maybe a playoff team, maybe if everything goes right. And here we are. Things didn't go right. Brewers are well ahead of everyone in the NL Central, and the Cards are far out of the wild card spot. So I think any fan that was being realistic with themselves will look at this roster and say it was never going to be a playoff team, right? And I think, you know, the players can't do that. But if you look at it in hindsight, which Wilson is doing, he's saying this roster essentially was never constructed to be a winner. And if you want to say that's due to youth, you can say that because, I mean, but at the same time, Paul Goedschmidt, you know, he'll admit he didn't have the season he wanted to have. And there were times where he was up in the ninth inning, bottom of the ninth, runners on, and he struck out too. So top to bottom, this team needed work. And I think Wilson, you know, made a point that I think everyone, you know, agrees with.
Yeah, you know, the old if it's ifs and buts were candies and nuts, we'd all have Merry Christmas type of way of looking at things. If this team would have gotten offensive production at a higher level from Goldschmidt and Arenado, even if they didn't, if they would have had a better 4-game series against the Cubs and a better 3-game series against Cincinnati in August, I think you could still squint and see a playoff team in there. To your point, though, the margin of error was just so small that it didn't take much to kind of knock them off the path of possibly being a playoff team.
What's crazy is if you remember in May, you were like, oh, I mean, they can do it, right? This team is legit. Like, they're I mean, at one point they were, you know, they were in that wild card spot. It was theirs, and then just you hit August, September, and you just do an absolute nosedive. And once again, is that due to youth? Maybe. Is that also due to maybe guys, you know, some of your older guys, Arenado and Goody, not being who they're supposed to be? Definitely possible. I think it's unfortunate because you have a lot of, you know, bright spots in this team, whether it's Mason Wynn, Alec Burleson. I think going into the season, many people would have told that would be your two best hitters, but here you are, and they were arguably the two most consistent guys you had on your roster, which may honestly ended up being a bad thing, as you probably would hope some other guys would have better seasons. It's just crazy how things can change in Major League Baseball, and I remember we're all during that time, you were like, this is not good, because they were playing really bad. They could not get a hit. I mean, every night it was, you know, 1-for-15, 1-for-whatever for runners in scoring position, and they just could not score a run, even when they had good pitching, which was the biggest question going into the season.
You mentioned Alec Burleson, and I agree with you. He had a really nice season, but when you dive into his numbers, the righty-lefty splits, he was very splitty. He was not quite as much in the second half of the season, but that was an issue. You look at his month of September, he's hit 167. So we're talking about, I think Mason Wynn was the best hitter on the team. Nobody's going to argue that. But when we're talking about Alec Burleson, most people would look at him as being the second best hitter on the team. He had a month of September where he hits 167, and he's got a batting average of 195 against lefties. When that's your second best hitter, that's not good.
That's a problem, right? Yeah. That's a big problem. And it was funny, the other day I was thinking, I was like, man, I haven't heard Alec Burleson's name very much. I look at his numbers, I'm like, oh, that's why. he hasn't been hitting well. This is his second, you know, he's really his first full year in Major League Baseball. So can you blame him, right? Like, eventually you're going to have a downturn because he's far and above a veteran. You know, he was with the other young guys wearing a lederhosen in the clubhouse the other day, and it wasn't because he's a veteran, right? It's because he's one of the young guys on this team. So I can't even really fault him for having, you know, a dip in the year that was arguably, you know, one of the best on the team.
We're going to have tons of time to talk about the offseason, and there's still a week of regular season baseball left, so I don't want to go too far down that road quite yet. But we do look forward, and we see a team that, from a starting rotation standpoint, has Sonny Gray, Eric Fetty, Andre Pallante, Miles Michaelis, Steven Matz, Michael McGreevy, Gordon Graceffo, all under contract. And you know that they need to add to the top of the rotation, which is easier said than done. You have huge question marks in Jordan Walker and Nolan Gorman, who you'd love for them to be able to step forward and take middle-of-the-order run-producing roles, but they didn't do that this year, so there's no guarantee that's going to happen next year, so you don't know where you go with that. It just feels like, in so many ways, there's questions about next year's roster where you don't know if guys are going to take a step forward or not. So I don't know how you completely build the roster without maybe just completely moving on from some of these guys.
Right, because there's just so many question marks. It was funny, we ran some sound from Contreras on what I got from him on wanting to, you know, be better. This year wasn't acceptable, and I was pulling highlights, and in some of the highlights, I think it was against the Nationals, was Nolan Gorman hitting home runs. I'm like, man, I forgot about that guy. Right, like they essentially sent him to AAA, and we haven't heard from him since. And going into the season, he was supposed to be one of your better hitters, right? He had some bright moments and then fell off, which I think is honestly could be the story for most of this team. But I think so much, you have so many question marks because it comes down to development, right? Are these guys going to develop into the guys you want them to be, or are they going to take a step back? And when you're putting your, you know, all of your eggs in a basket of, you know, sign and develop or draft and develop, you're going to have these question mark seasons where, I mean, if you look at last year, we could be in the same boat, right? We could be in the same boat where you have a young team with younger players and they go on.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
All right, parents, it's back to school time, and I've got a secret for you. There's a drama-free way to make vitamins part of your kids' morning routine. Little Critters Gummy Vitamins. You see, my kids think they're just eating fun, delicious gummy bears, but little do they know, they're getting essential nutrients for their health and development.
Mom, we know they're vitamins.
As I was saying, kids absolutely love, and apparently know, these are vitamins. Little Critters is the pediatrician-recommended kids' multivitamin gummy brand, and the yummy way to start the school year.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Run and then the bats just go completely quiet. It could happen again because, once again, I think the biggest question marks around this team is, will these guys continue to develop? Will Jordan Walker be the guy you want him to be? For the last, month or so, he's been killing the ball, right? Mason Wynn all season has been great, but you look at like guys like Newbar and Burleson, and, you know, is Pajas going to be a guy that can give Contreras a break, where Contreras can just DH and Pajas catches? There are so many questions, and I think it really comes down to, can these guys develop? And as a fan, like, if the roster stays as it is now, how excited, how confident are you in going through this again, even if you add another rotation player? Because how many times were there games this year where the Cardinals lost, 3-2 or 2-1 or whatever, because they could not, for the life of them, get a run?
We're talking with Brian Kennedy from Channel 4. Since we have you, real quick, of course, Channel 4 is behind Matrix Midwest, and you guys have your Mizzou Live pre- and post-game shows on the Matrix Midwest channel, and you guys are just rocking that right now. What's your takeaway off Mizzou almost losing to Vanderbilt and needing double overtime? That came off a game against BC where they were not as impressive as fans would have liked. It feels like this is it's good that they're winning, but they're not winning the way that I think Tigers fans would like them to win.
Right. With this show, I'm essentially watching the games from first kickoff to the final buzzer, right? And that game was ugly. It was bad. You had penalties. You had missed field goals. You had personal, I mean, you had everything that a team can do negatively in a game. It had it, but they found a way to win, right? They found a way to come out and win. That's the most sports cliche thing to say, but at the end of the day, they found a way to win. Now, did it come off a kicker missing a kick? Yes, it did. But, you know, the final record won't show that they barely won from playing a terrible game. It'll show that they won 30-27 in overtime. And in 2 weeks, you're going to College Station to play Texas A&M, another team. We don't know who they are, right? You beat Florida, who's probably not going to have a coach by the end of the season. You lost to Notre Dame, which Notre Dame may not be that good. This past week, you barely beat Bowling Green. You beat them by a touchdown. Now, they have Arkansas this week, Texas A&M does. We may know more about the Aggies after this week. But I think for Mizzou, you just struggled beating Vandy at home. Now you have to go on the road to face Texas A&M. I think they have a lot to clean up. I think it is good that this rough of a game came before the bye week. So now you can heal up. You can hopefully fix some mistakes before you go into Kyle Field with 100,000 fans that don't like you. You have to win there. So it's going to be interesting for this team. I think we really don't know who this team is. One thing this team has not done yet is throw the ball downfield. And if they're going to win in the SEC, they're going to have to figure that out, because you're going to get a good defense that is not going to let Nate Noel rush for 100 yards. You're going to have to learn how to throw the ball. And this team has yet to show that they can. Most of their touchdowns come from Luther Burden being an athlete, catching a short pass and scoring. So it'll be the question is, can they make some of those big chunk plays?
He is Brian Kennedy. You see him on Channel 4. You see him on Matrix Midwest. And we always appreciate him taking time with us. Brian, thanks for the time. We'll talk again real soon.
Always a pleasure, my friend.
All right, very good. That's Brian Kennedy joining us on the program. We will take another break, and when we return, we're going to listen to a little bit of what John Mozeliak had to say yesterday here on KMOX. Tom Ackerman had a line of questioning towards the end of the conversation that I think was really notable with what Mo had to say as we try to kind of decipher what the organization might look like going into next year. We'll play that for you coming up in just a moment. It's a Gray Bar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Strike Zone on KMOX, presented by Graybar. Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
Back at it on a Graybar Sports Open Line. It is a Strike Zone hour here on KMOX. Great to have you with us here on a Monday night. Tomorrow night, we'll do about 45 minutes of Sports Open Line before we get into Cardinals baseball. They open up the second to final series of the year. They are in Denver to take on the Colorado Rockies. Building the Future is sponsored by Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs. And that's exactly the future, what John Mozeliak spoke about yesterday with Tom Ackerman during Sports on a Sunday morning. So he's on, you know, for 9-10 minutes on a weekly basis. I pulled out about the final 3 minutes of this conversation, and I wanted to play it back for you. Because, look, we're at a point right now where what things look like next year is a lot more interesting than anything that's going to happen this year. That doesn't mean that we ignore what's going on for the final six games of the regular season, but obviously the focus with this team already being eliminated from the postseason is what things are going to look like for next year. That's why tomorrow, Michael McGreevy making the start, that's going to be interesting to see what he does, especially playing in a place, pitching in a place like Denver, which creates some challenges. But the bigger question about the Cardinals is, what does the front office look like? What does the manager's office look like? Is John Mozeliak back fully in control as the president of baseball operations? Do they start the succession plan where the next president of baseball operations is named and they start to take over for next season? Does Mo walk out the door? I don't think that's going to happen, but is that something that is a possibility? Is Oliver Marmol back next season? What happens inside of the front office? What is the development and the scouting going to look like? Gary LaRocque is not going to be in his role as farm director. They're going to have to hire a new farm director. This front office and the brain trust that is the folks that make all the important big decisions for the Cardinals, everything is kind of up in the air right now. So I appreciated Tom Ackerman's line of questioning to John Mozeliak yesterday. Obviously, Mo, who does know more than he can say publicly at this point in time, he had to be careful in how he answers these questions. But this is what John Mozeliak had to say about the immediate future of the Cardinals.
This is an overhaul, if I may use the word, or change that's going to happen. You do have already announced the retirement of Gary LaRocque. I know how much you respect him, but that has created an opportunity. You told me that interviews are going to get underway here, that some things are going to start taking place in the next few weeks.
Yeah, it'll be a busy month of October as we look to really reset our front office. And obviously, you mentioned Gary LaRocque, a dear friend of mine, was a tremendous asset to this franchise and really did a lot for us, especially in a time of need. And I look forward to still working with him, but just in a different capacity. And he really was a special person and loved the game of baseball.
You've been very candid about yourself, that your contract expires in 2025, that you alluded to a succession plan a while back that was going to take place. I know there's been an ongoing process. I respect the process. So I know that when the time comes to make a public announcement as to what that is looking like. You'll tell us. Is there anything that you can reveal about how that has been going?
Not really. I think at some point this offseason we'll definitely sit down with everybody and sort of lay out what that all looks like. But in the meantime, I think the focus is the next 7 days. And then at some point we'll turn the page and then really focus on 2025 and beyond.
And, you know, we've talked a lot about crowds and about perception, about optics, and what this fan base thinks and how you're trying to turn this thing around. Is that also talked about, how you are going to not only do things from a business standpoint, but present to your fan base and communicate with them what you are doing? Does that make a big difference to you? Do you want them to feel like they are part of this as well? Is that important?
I think transparency in this particular realm is important. We're certainly grateful for the support we've had over the last 29 seasons under the DeWitt ownership, and we don't take that for granted, and so as we move forward, that'll definitely be something that is part of our plan or something we plan to share with everyone.
When I talk to Ollie, he sounds energetic when he talks about these young players. Have you noticed that? What has he been like here as this playoff contention has fallen out, but he continues to move this team to the finish line here? How do you evaluate Ollie?
I'm obviously an advocate for Ollie, so I think he does a really good job. I think this was a tough year. I don't think anybody, probably including Las Vegas, thought our offense was going to be how it was. So, that's a tough one. So, but to still navigate to where we are, I think he's done a nice job. I mean, obviously, we've had our fair share of injuries, not that other teams don't. But I think when you look at really where we are, there's a story to be told. But from a managerial standpoint, I thought he did a really nice job.
All right. So that was John Mozeliak yesterday with Tom Ackerman. And I thought, I pulled out a few specific things he said. And again, he was going to be limited in what he was going to be able to say. I would think for the most part, look, there are changes coming to this organization. Absolutely, 100%. And I think we're going to start to get an idea of those changes very quickly after the season comes to an end. And I would think that John Mozeliak already has a pretty good understanding and idea of what those changes are going to look like. So while he cannot sit there and make any announcements on what was yesterday, yesterday was September 22nd when he talked with Tom, while he's not going to make any big announcements, I would think that he does know a little bit more than what he is saying at this point. Obviously so. Like, that's not a criticism of him. There's a time and place to make announcements. And with 1 week left in the season, that's not it. But knowing that he knows a little bit more than what he was able to say, you can pull out some things that he said specifically and try to kind of run with that and what it means. And maybe this is all just me trying to make too much of little things, and we'll find that out in a week plus from now. But John Mozeliak, in those comments just now, did use the term reset the front office. Reset the front office. That was a verbatim four words, reset the front office. So part of that is replacing Gary LaRocque, but if you're just replacing one individual, or if you're just replacing individuals kind of in one department, I don't think you use the term reset the front office. So that tells me there are more changes coming. Tom asked about the succession plan. And he said, at some point this offseason, we will lay out what it all looks like, but the focus right now is on the next 7 days. So when he says at some, when he starts that, and when he says at some point this offseason, because that was specifically to, are they going to put in place a plan for what's going to happen as John Mozeliak eventually exits his role as president of baseball operations? When he starts that sentence and says, at some point this offseason, it feels like, well, that's a ways down the road, that the season will come to an end and they'll work on some pressing needs at the beginning, and then eventually they'll get to the succession plan. But then the next thing he says is, But for right now, the focus is on the next 7 days. And again, that was yesterday, so it'd be now 6 days from right now when I'm talking to you. And that makes me think that maybe that's at some point this offseason, that it could be sooner than later. I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. I feel like the fans want to see major change, and that was part of something that was said. So he talked about transparency because Tom asked him about the fan support. We all know like they did not get to 3 million fans this year. They got to just under 2.9, and it's the first time for that ballpark in a non-COVID year that that's been the case. If you've been at games, nobody's trying to lie to you about attendance. Everybody has eyes. Everybody knows that the attendance has been down, that there's been a lot of no-shows with the tickets that have been sold. Like, all those things are true. So this offseason, probably more than any other offseason, it is so important for the Cardinals to communicate to fans what the plan and what the process is going to be. Because, you know, the old adage, no matter what you're doing in life, you're in a sales job. Well, right now, every person involved with the St. Louis Cardinals is involved in sales. And they are selling next year. And it's very important for the organization that they have as high of a renewal rate as possible on season tickets. It's very important that the groups that every year come in on a weekend and, you know, have their annual trip to St. Louis to come to a Cardinals game, that those people still feel comfortable using those dollars. And you have to energize this fan base. And that's where I think the number one question I have, because look, I'm not breaking any news when I tell you that Oliver Marmol is not a super popular individual to a certain part of the fan base. I'm not breaking any news when I tell you that John Mozeliak is not a super favorite of the Cardinals fans right now. I mean, Mo said it. I think it was in a conversation he had with Frank Cusmano towards opening day that he felt like Cardinals fans were tiring of him. Like he hears it, he knows it, he feels it, he sees it. Like that's where things are at right now. So what can you do to energize the fan base? And specifically, Oliver Marmol, Mo said, quote, "I think he does a real nice job." He went on, he said, "I think he's done a nice job." He said, "I think he's done a nice job." So in the course of about 40 seconds, Mo said either, "I think he does a good job" or "a nice job" three separate times. To me, that says that Marmol's back next year. And so, again, that brings us back to what's going to energize the fans. Because if Marmol's fired, unfortunately, in the sense that I don't like seeing people lose their jobs, and I also don't think that Marmol's the problem here. But if he loses his job, I don't think there's any denying the fact that that's going to invigorate some of the fan base because he's not so popular. Same thing with Mo. If Mo were to move on at the end of this season, that's going to invigorate part of the fan base. Well, if neither of those things end up happening, what invigorates this fan base and what puts butts in the seats next year? Can they do enough to the roster to do that? You know, Sonny Gray was a nice signing this past year. I don't know if he was that guy that the ticket line was going to be ringing off the hook the day after Sonny Gray was signed, and it's going to take even more for that to happen this offseason. But I thought those were interesting comments made by John Mozeliak yesterday, Tom Ackerman. One more break. We'll come back and we'll wrap up the program. It's a Gray Bar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Strike Zone on KMOX. Presented by Gray Bar. Gray Bar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
About a minute left in the show, but don't go anywhere. St. Louis City Soccer Report, it is on the way next. And Jen Cease is flying solo tonight. She's
hello.
Joining us for a moment.
Yeah, hello,
so,
it's just me.
What's coming up on the next 2 hours?
Busy. So when I fly solo, I don't try to do as much talking as between me and Nate. So I load up with guests is what I do. So in the first hour, we'll talk to Dave Schilly, as we always do. We'll go a little bit over the game. game, and it was a win. It wasn't the prettiest of wins, but a win's a win.
A win is a win.
Win is a win at this point. Yeah. We'll talk about it with Dale, of course. Talk a little bit with Matt Baker from Flyover Footy, and then of course George Gansner. Talk about some rules of the game. Second hour, we'll talk to Joey Z. So we'll hype up the Kansas City rival game for Saturday, which is going to be crazy. They're already eliminated, by the way, so boo for them. And as well as Dave Ehrenberg to talk about high school soccer, and we'll end up with U.S. Men's National Team.
St. Louis City Soccer Report on the way next, right here on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
All right, parents, it's back to school time, and I've got a secret for you. There's a drama-free way to make vitamins part of your kids' morning routine. Little Critters Gummy Vitamins. You see, my kids think they're just eating fun, delicious gummy bears, but little do they know, they're getting essential nutrients for their health and development.
Mom, we know they're vitamins.
As I was saying, kids absolutely love, and apparently know, these are vitamins. Little Critters is the pediatrician-recommended kids' multivitamin gummy brand, and the yummy way to start the school year.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.